Jackie Chesla spent many years angry and bitter about the hurts in her life. But then she was challenged to realize God could take that hurt and use it for good.
Could it be a good thing, a blessing that I did not have my dad in my life? Could it be that the trials could be good?
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth, author of Lies Women Believe, for Thursday, March 8th, 2018.
When your mind is filled with lies, it has a big effect on the way you live. But the opposite of that is also true. When we fill our minds with the truth, that also has a huge effect on the way we live. Well, a dear Revive Our Hearts listener named Jackie has learned this. She visited a Revive Our Hearts recording session around the time we were getting ready for the release of my newly updated and expanded book, Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. Well, God used the original Lies Women Believe book to transform this woman in many areas of her life some years ago. I had heard bits and pieces of her story, and it was so powerful that I wanted her to share it with our Revive Our Hearts listeners. So let's listen as Carrie Gaw from the Revive Our Hearts team talks with Jackie about the danger of lies and the power of the truth.
Well, Jackie, I'm eager to hear some of your story, and I thought maybe we would just start out from the beginning. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with your parents growing up at home, what that looked like for you.
So I was raised by a single woman, and I would almost call her then maybe a feminist liberal woman. My parents were divorced when I was still in the womb, and so I grew up without a father. Fatherless and with a very strong woman. And I had a brother. And my father was very prominent in our community because he was the chief of police in our town. And just to give you a little bit of the scope of his neglect, my aunt was a social worker. And my dad was getting ready to run for town sheriff. And she went to him and said, "You know what? You have neglected these children. You haven't seen them. You haven't spent time with them. I'm just asking you to spend some time with them. And if you don't do that, I'm going to go to the media. I'm going to go to the paper, the local paper." And he said, I will pull myself from the race then. And he did. Oh, wow. And so those memories of what did I do to make you hate me so much? So growing up with a mama that was a workhorse, and very strong in her viewpoints. She was not home a lot because she was doing all that she could to raise us by herself. And so I don't fault her for that. And, you know, recently she heard me, she actually read a piece that I wrote, and she said, I'm so embarrassed that you think you have not heard Jesus's name until you were 22. I said, "Mommy, I never heard Jesus's name before I was 22. And she's like, "Okay, I can, you're right." But what she did do was she showed me, I think she knew Jesus at one time. She does now know him. And I think she had pulled herself away from the church. And so I got to see glimpses of her being kind with strangers. And I got to hear her have hope and faith, but I never knew to what. And so that's the framework of where my lies started.
Sure. And Jackie, talk about how your father's absence, though he was right there locally, evidently, how did that impact you?
Well, first of all, the high school that I went to, our resource officer, of course, worked for my dad. And she loved my dad. And she would say, "Oh, I saw your dad on TV." And I don't think she knew that he was not connected to us. And so I would hear people talk about this great man, and I would see him on TV, and I would, you know, read things in the newspaper, but he wasn't there. And so I think him not being there caused me to desire men in a way that was not healthy. And that really affected my relationship with everything. It also, I think the piece that really connected with me in the Lies book was God is like my father. And I remember reading the first time I read the table of contents, because that's what I do before I get into a book. I thought, "Oh, if he is, I don't think I need to read this, because that's not going to be good for me."
Don't want anything to do with that God.
Nope, I don't want to know him.
Yeah. So what kind of impact did it have on your view of men in general?
Oh, it was not good. I definitely grew up learning that I didn't need a man because my mom took care of everything. And then I also, because I didn't have the protection of a father, there was a perpetrator. Something really tragic happened when I was 9 years old. And I think had I been protected by a father, that would not have happened. And so that was an impact that has haunted me, until recently, where I was just able to completely surrender that lie to the Lord.
Looking back, Jackie, can you tell now what some of those lies were that were inserted into you, the enemy?
Definitely that I was not worthy to have a father that loved me. Definitely that I probably wouldn't find a man that would love me. And that if I found a man, I could probably figure most things out myself. I wouldn't need to depend or rely on him.
Sure, yeah. And how did that impact? You and your husband met at some point.
We did.
Talk about that.
He's awesome, by the way. He, but our relationship...
And he is?
His name is Rich. He was raised in a different faith that he kind of broke away from. And so when I met him, I was not a Christian. He would not call himself a Christian. We were together for a couple of years, and that was very tumultuous. I mean, it was just rocky, and of course, because we had no foundation of faith,
sure.
And we had no understanding of who Christ was and how that should be the center of every relationship. And so then we broke up. And I was in Florida, and my brother, of all people, said, hey, you need to go to church. I've been going to this church, and I've learned about Jesus. And I was like, awesome, okay. And so I loved my brother so much, and so I went. And it was amazing, you guys. The moment I heard the gospel, it was like I had immediate faith. I learned what the Bible was, and I started journaling, and I started spending time with the Lord, and I would just write and write, and I would want to tell him everything, and it was beautiful. And so I went back to Michigan because I was working in the summer in Florida when I learned about Jesus, and I started reading the Bible and getting in prayer and journaling, and I came home, and Rich and I happened to run into each other, and he was like, whoa. You are different. And I said, yes, I am. And he said, well, I think, you know, we should get back together. I'm like, before we go there, you need to know that I'm a Christian now. And I would highly recommend you read your Bible. And so he said, okay, I can read a Bible. He read it in 6 months.
Oh my goodness.
We ended up getting together. He said he wanted to marry me. We planned our wedding in 14 days because we had been off and on, and then we decided, you know what, we're going to be together, we're going to be married, we're going to love Jesus, this is going to be great. But what happened was not as beautiful as you'd hope it would be when you become a Christian. I think there were so many lies that were constantly in our life for 22 years, and then we were starting to sift through what Christianity meant together as a new couple, as a newly saved couple. With no mentors, and that was really difficult.
So coming to Christ didn't mean that you had all the answers.
Oh, no. I wanted to know Christ. He wanted to know Christ, but our paths were so different. He kind of went the self-righteous path, and he would admit that. And I was just in the Word and listening to Alistair Begg or whoever on the radio and just trying to figure out as much as I could on my own.
So as you're taking it all in, it sounds like you're developing deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. What does that look like as you're applying it in your life?
Not so good, because it was almost like compartmentalized, because I had grown up so disconnected from all of that. Actually, we at church, so my husband and I started going to a church together, and there was a book that we were reading called Decisions, Decisions. And I don't even know who the author is or anything, but I remember that was one book that made me think, wow, I need to learn everything all over again, because everything I've learned to this point has been a lie. But again, I did not have a mentor or somebody to show me a way. And even in this church that I was in for years, it was very law-driven, and I didn't hear about grace until probably lies. I didn't understand what grace was. I didn't understand that there was an enemy prowling. I had no clue. And so lies was a catalyst.
And how did that book come across your path, Jackie?
Well, so I spent 14 years after the moment of salvation to becoming a disciple of Christ, I would say, 14 years wandering without a mentor, without somebody showing me exactly what to do next, or even maybe not exactly, but some ideas of what to do next. Prayer, I didn't hear about prayer until years later. And that is so key. And so we were at the end of our time with this church, and it seemed that the elders were trying to get rid of the pastor for an issue that was not a sin issue. And so we were really confused about that. And so in my husband's wisdom, he said, you know what, I think it's time for us to go. My husband had been an elder on the board. And he said, it was over a lot of prayer before we decided that we needed to leave. And before we decided to leave, I did one more Bible study. And that Bible study was Lies, Women Believe, and the Truth That Sets Them Free. And I was so grateful for just trying to stick it out that last little bit there, because in that book was the Titus 2 woman I'd been looking for. And somebody to lead me and help me understand that there is an enemy, but God, but God is so much more powerful. And guess what? He loves you, and the things that you are believing are not true. I mean, her book helped debunk 22 years of lies, and it was powerful. I mean, it was just this roller coaster of emotion, and it got me learning more. I remember in one of the chapters, Nancy had talked about her father passing, and it was so sudden that she didn't get to say goodbye. But in there, she said that, but God is so gracious. And I thought, what is she talking about? God is gracious? So she didn't get to say goodbye, and that's painful to a girl who adored her dad. And it was like immediately the Lord had these questions kind of filtering through my mind. So could it be a good thing, a blessing that I did not have my dad in my life? Could it be that the trials that I have faced up to now could be good? And then I got to thinking, well, listen, the Lord asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, and that's tragic. That's scary as a father, I would think. And so, but he was obedient. And right when he was about to sacrifice Isaac, he provided a goat in the thicket. But it was the obedience that Abraham was willing. And I don't know, something about all of that together just like made God become this beautiful person instead of this person I feared might be like my father. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And God wept with you in the midst of those sufferings and heartaches as a little girl.
Yep.
Would not have wanted that for you.
Nope.
But is certainly able to use it and is.
Yes.
Beautifully. We'll talk, Jackie, about a few of the other lies specifically that stood out to you in the book and the ways God set you free from some of those lies.
I guess one of the big ones for me is the cycle of unworthiness that continued. And I call it the cycle of unworthiness because I think of, you know, a lot of women, friends of mine, even still to this day, even knowing Jesus, they might not have that relational connection to him. And there's the unworthiness. And then it goes down and you start believing the lie that you're unworthy. And then you feel horrible because you've believed this lie. You're horrible because you are unworthy. And here we are believing a new lie. And I mean, it just goes, and the shame and the guilt and the unworthiness and the shame and the guilt. And what happens is you have this script going on in your thought life constantly telling you whatever lie it might be, that you're ugly, that you're whatever it is for you. But for me, it was unworthiness.
And today you believe
that the fruits of the Spirit tell me that I'm supposed to have self-control and I'm supposed to be loving and kind and gentle. And I think once you get into the Word and you start realizing these truths and you become a renewed creature in Christ and you continue to wash the Word over you instead of, you know, believing those lies, man, that is life-altering. It's life-changing. And that's the whole point of the gospel, isn't it? To be renewed and changed.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the hurts from your past and how you began to reconcile some of that, even with the perpetrator that as a young girl?
You know, it was interesting, and only by God's grace, only by God's grace can you forgive somebody that has hurt you so deeply. Somehow or another, I think the Lord taught me about forgiveness and helped me see that that torment that I was in my head, number one, was because I wasn't being truthful. I didn't tell. But then I think the Lord helped me understand that that man, if he does not know Jesus, that's scary for me. And so I think forgiving him was one thing, but then I had pity on him. And I won't say that I'm like super spiritual and started interceding for the man, but what I did do is forgive him, and I had pity. And I remember thinking, somebody needs to tell him because I couldn't do it. I knew my boundary was not to be close to the man, but somebody needs to tell him that if he doesn't repent from his ways, it's not going to be good. And so I think, though, being able to speak my forgiveness for my perpetrator was so healing. It was so healing. The Lord gave this to me a couple of years ago, Luke 22:31, where he says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I pray for you that your faith may not fail. And when you turned again, strengthen your brothers." I believe the Lord was telling me in that situation, maybe not audibly, but that we are all going to go through trials. But because he works all things together for good, he will use them to help us strengthen our sisters in Christ or our brothers in Christ. And I think for me, that has been my journey. So this happened to me for a good purpose, for the purpose of bringing glory and honor to the Lord, because Jesus wept with me when I was being hurt, but Jesus will be glorified through the redemption of it.
He's redeeming the ashes.
And I think once women hear that, I can forgive them for doing that to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you have the power through the grace of the Lord to do that. Yeah. You have the authority to do that.
Yeah. Jackie, talk about what you would say to women in the church today. You came to Christ, and then you said for 14 years you were growing in the Word and in your love for Jesus, but there was no mentoring, no discipleship intentionally going on. What would you say to the women today who are wondering if anybody really is interested in that kind of thing or feeling like they don't have anything to offer?
Yeah, I would say obviously that's another lie of the evil one. Discipleship is so key. I think because we have trial and because we have a story, we need to share that with one another, but we need to stay in the Word and make sure that we have sound doctrine, because if we don't have sound doctrine, we're not going to help other women. I was in Houston for a few years, and the Lord brought to my mind the fact that I need to maybe get together all of the information that I've learned that he's taught me over the 14 years and put together something so that when I encounter a new Christian, so my heart is for young new Christians, that I would have something to teach them. And I say, women, older women, you've got to pour into the younger women because they need it. We need it.
We need it.
You know, and I think it's beautiful that if somebody's pouring into you, you pour into them, and it's this just beautiful line to Christ, you know? And so I pour into my baby girl, and she pours into somebody on the bus, you know? It's like, this is good. This is good.
That
this is
really
how it's
good.
Supposed to be.
That's really good.
So I think it's very important. Older women, please, please, please reach out to somebody younger than you, because chances are they need you. They need you.
Amen. What do you hope the Lord does with the new Lies Women Believe
book
that's being released?
Well, first of all, I want to get it into our church, the hands of the women in our church. You know what I hope it does? I hope it breaks generational curses.
Amen.
I pray that no more women have to feel unworthy or unloved, because we have a God that loves us so much. He's just a relational, intimate, beautiful being.
Amen.
Yeah.
Jackie, why should a woman buy this book? Why would you encourage a friend to
I
buy
think
Lies
women Believe? Should buy Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. Because number one, if they've never had a Titus 2 woman, they will want to see the truths that Nancy points us to. She always points to Jesus. She always points to the Word of God. And that's different than a lot of Bible studies. And I love that. So if they don't know a whole lot about the truth, this would be a great way. If they have never cracked a Bible, this would be a great way to learn about some of those truths that we fight in our culture that might be kind of a backdoor to somebody. Another reason might be if you are a seasoned Christian and you think you're not believing lies, that quickly will become a reality and a truth to you. You are believing some lie. Let's just figure out what it is so that you can honor and serve the Lord without that lie. And then I guess anybody can glean information from this book and realize the truth from this book. It was a catalyst in my life. It was an absolute game changer for me. I had the Word of God, but what Nancy does is she connects the dots, I believe. So she speaks about a lie, but then she gives you the scripture to back up the truth. And that's beautiful, and that's necessary.
That's life-changing.
That's life-changing.
Jackie Chesla has been providing hope for everyone who is feeling hurt and disappointment. The Lord used the book Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free to give Jackie that hope, and Carrie Gall from the Revive Our Hearts team has been helping Jackie tell her story. Nancy, today's story provides a powerful example of what Revive Our Hearts is all about.
So, after more than 15 years of ministry, why are we still so passionate here at Revive Our Hearts about continuing to spread biblical truth day after day? Well, it's because there are still so many women, like Jackie, who have fallen for lies. They're not experiencing life the way that God designed it to be. And as we're hearing today and will again tomorrow, Jackie's story shows us the power of the truth to transform a life. And we can't speak to women like Jackie without the help of our listeners who want to be involved in spreading the truth and rescuing women from bondage. There's a group of listeners who make this happen in a special way, and that's our monthly partner team. I've often called them the lifeblood of this ministry. Our monthly partners commit to giving to Revive Our Hearts each month. They pray for the ministry, and they share this message with others. So if you've been blessed through the ministry of Revive Our Hearts, and you see what God is doing around the world through this ministry, the monthly partner team could be a great fit for you. When you sign up as a new ministry partner this month, I think you're going to feel really welcomed to the team. Here's why. We'll send you two copies of the just-released, revised, expanded book, Lies Women Believe. You'll also get two study guides for the book and two bookmarks that list the truths that set us free. Now, you might be wondering, why are you sending two of everything? Well, that's so that you can go through this book yourself and then share it with another woman and help her learn what you've been learning about the truth that sets you free. You'll also get my teaching on Lies Women Believe on CD when you sign up to be one of our ministry partners. And as a ministry partner, you'll also receive a monthly devotional booklet, daily readings to take you throughout the month. And as a partner, you can attend a Revive Our Hearts conference each year at no charge. So this year, that means that your registration will be covered this September for the True Woman 18 conference. This really is a partnership. You support this ministry, and we support you as you serve the Lord and others in your sphere of influence. To get more details on becoming a ministry partner, you can visit us at reviveourhearts.com or give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959.
Thanks, Nancy. Do you ever relate to these feelings from our guest, Jackie?
I was such an angry, volatile, ugly human being, and I expected everybody to just deal with it. Look, I've been hurt, I have been wronged, and I have the right to lash out.
Tomorrow, find out how the Lord began to change her attitude. To close our time, here's Nancy to reflect on Jackie's story.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, this is, as you remember, an Old Testament prophecy of the Messiah, Christ. Jesus would quote this later in his gospel ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me. This is Jesus coming to the cross, by the way. But God has sent me, he's saying, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who were bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Judgment and salvation go together all through Scripture. You see them running on parallel tracks. To comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So that's Jesus' ministry in our lives. And that's the ministry of the Spirit in and through our lives to others. As we receive that grace, we let him give us that beauty, that joy, that praise, make us an oak of righteousness so that he may be glorified in us and he can do that same work in others. And it goes on and on and on. And we've experienced a little bit of that, a lot of that today in such a sweet way.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth wants your marriage to thrive. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.